All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now that has like about a third of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So I'm reading through these verses, and I've never seen what I'm about to show you in the light that I'm going to show it to you in. And it's because when I preached through this stuff or taught through it in the past, you just take pieces out of the chapter, but it really all goes together. And it describes what Paul's describing is what Christianity actually is, and how a church functions. And the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, he's the rock, and there's nothing that can be, you know, upon him. That he's the foundation. And so anything that's built outside of Jesus Christ or done outside of Jesus Christ, it has no lasting value. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read I'm just going to read the chapter because it all goes together. It's all one thought with several elements in it. And it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Notice God giving over and over and over. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and none and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation," here's the point, "for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore," here's the point, "therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." All right, so I read all of that together because it goes all together. It describes Jesus Christ as the only foundation, and then when as a church functions, and Paul, I was really getting on the Corinthians about this. You know, in the past, I guess just personally, I've picked out some of these verses, and you teach on judgment seat of Christ or whatever, and a few of these verses, or you teach on the temple of the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff, and then you pick out a few verses. Fact is, the whole thing goes together. It's all cohesive, and he's defining and describing the way a church functions is people agree and show up and participate and work together to build on Jesus Christ's ministry, what God has given them and what God has put together. But on the other hand, churches don't work when people show up with agendas and people show up with their own, hey, I remember one time, well, I don't want to get into all the preaching part of this, but I mean, you get the idea. Anything that's built outside of Jesus Christ doesn't last. So when people show up or when people try to participate in a way that God hasn't given them to participate, meaning if this is my idea, this is what I came up with, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to call this a ministry. Here's the idea. God gives the ministries. It's His work. It's not for people to do. And Paul's getting on these Corinthians because they're just like fighting each other, and this one's better than this one, and this one's better than this one, and I like this guy, and I believe this stuff, and this guy's a better preacher than this guy, and they're just arguing about stuff that it makes no difference in the world. So with all that said, I want to talk to you, there's a negative aspect of this about how a church doesn't function, and there's a positive side at the end where he says, look, this is the way it's supposed to go. This is the way it's supposed to go. And I just, while I was reading this, and I'm thinking, I've never seen it in this context. I've always picked out pieces of this chapter, but I've never seen it in this whole context like this. So let's pray, and we're going to talk about Christ, the only foundation. Christ, the only foundation. Father, thank you for these words. Lord, I pray that we would get what we need today. I pray we get the help we need. I pray we get fed. I pray that we could make application with these words where we need to make application. I pray that you'd help us. I pray, Father, that you would help us be a church that is a church that you can trust to send people to, and they can find the light of the Scriptures, they can find salvation in Jesus Christ, and Lord, that we would be ambassadors, true ambassadors and true light in this world. And I pray that you'd help us with that. We desperately need help. I just read in this chapter, everything comes from you. And if it doesn't come from you and isn't built on Jesus Christ, it just doesn't have really any value, any lasting value at all. I pray we would get that. I pray we'd take it to heart. And Father, thank you. Thank you so much for every soul that's here. I pray you'd feed your flock. And if anybody here is not saved, Lord, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. For the teachers that are teaching in Children's Church, I pray that you'd minister through them to the kids. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's Jesus Christ, the only foundation. Paul, like I said, he's getting on these Corinthians. And I noticed that in my own early on in growing and learning about the Bible, but you get this tendency to think that knowledge is spirituality. Let me read a couple things to you. Verse 1, we've read the whole chapter, but I'm going to give you a couple things out of these first three or four verses. Paul says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? All right, in verse 3, let me ask you, we can have some class participation in this. What is he defining carnal as in verse 3? What's the reason he's calling the Corinthian church carnal? Envying, strife, division, people showing up and they've got their own ideas about how things ought to be done. And so he says, I can't, let me just, basically, it doesn't matter. Your neighbor doesn't care if you can cite when the rapture is supposed to happen if you're an unkind person, your neighbor doesn't care. Your neighbor doesn't. When you have watched this, I've watched this. People move from a Bible-believing church to another Bible-believing church down the road because they couldn't get along. That's Corinthians. You know what? The point is, knowledge has nothing to do with spirituality. We're having children's church, so the kids in children's church can be filled with all kinds of memory verses. And they can perform. And they can stand in front of a group and say, da 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 da, this is Psalm whatever, this is John whatever, this is Acts whatever. And we can be happy and clap and all that stuff. But you can fill any mind with information. That's not spirituality. Paul says, the reason I can't talk to you as spiritual people is because you're carnal. And the reason I say you're carnal is because you may have all this information, but you keep fighting among yourselves. You keep arguing. You keep having agendas that have nothing to do with God's work or basing it on Jesus Christ. You keep coming up with these things that have nothing to do with what Jesus Christ is trying to accomplish. And the camp mentality and all that kind of stuff and churches. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. It doesn't even matter. But it applies to stuff like this. You know, I'm of this school and I'm of this school and I came from this school and I like this guy and I like this guy. And it's like, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who cares? None of them died for you. So Paul says, look, you guys, I cannot deal with you as spiritual people because you argue, you envy, you fight, you create divisions among yourselves, and all the while you say, you know what, we have the King James Bible. Who cares? If you can't get along with people, who cares what you have? If you can't love other people, who cares that you can break down all the dispensations and whatever? Who cares? If you're mad at people all the time, who cares that you can show where Israel goes through the tribulation and all this? Your neighbor doesn't care about that. Your neighbor doesn't care. The problems, so for those of you that are married or the problems between a family of husband to wife don't revolve around the fact that, you know, I've never heard this. You know, my wife and I were usually, it's not the guy. The guy will not talk about anything. It's just, she'll show up and have some trouble or something, want to get the thing squared away, and you know, he doesn't want to admit there's any problem and all that kind of stuff. That's all another deal. But anyway, I've never heard anyone show up and say, you know, I can't get my husband to believe in the gap theory. Who cares? Who cares? Well, you know, we're having trouble because she can't see where Satan fell. And you know, I think it's before this verse. You know what? Who cares? You know what your problem is? You're carnal. You can't get along. You haven't figured out how to apply the things that you have. So Paul says, look, he says, I can't deal with you as spiritual because you're envying. Everybody shows up to church with their own agenda. Nobody wants to follow what Jesus Christ actually set in motion. We all want to talk about who knows this and do you know this guy and have you ever heard this doctrine and have you ever heard this and have you ever heard of this thing? You can fill your mind with all the information and be just as carnal as anything. So here's what Paul says. Yeah, I mean, you get the picture. This stuff is so practical. It's so practical. I have fed you, verse 2, I have fed you with milk. You know how Paul defines milk? It's almost the basis of every check mark of every independent, fundamental, whatever. And he says, all that's milk. You're going over baptisms, you're going over resurrections, you're going over, he says all this in Hebrews chapter 4 or 6. He says, this is all milk stuff. You can get anybody to regurgitate that information. But try being kind to one another. Try being long-suffering to one another. Try not gossiping about one another. Now you're getting it. Try to love one another. Now you're spiritual. Now you're getting to a place that's spiritual. Now I can deal with you as not children anymore. Now I can deal with you as spiritual people. All this information that you think is spiritual is not spiritual. It's just milk. And you can get anybody to regurgitate the milk stuff. Like I said, and you've seen it too. You've seen Bible-believing people who spend years and years in church, and then there's something not right. So they're just not settled in this. They're just not settled in applying the Bible. Their spirituality is in they know the Bible. And that's not spirituality. That's not spirituality. That's milquetoast stuff. Being able to regurgitate the seven this and the seven that and all this whatever. That's all milk stuff. Here's the meat stuff. Paul says the meat is to be exercised to know good and evil. And we can be pretty exercised in knowing evil. Well, that church is this, and they're brighters, and they're that, and they're that, and they're that, and they're this, and they do this, and they believe this. And how about knowing some good? How about applying some good things? How about being able to love one another? How about being, like I said, long-suffering? How about the fruit of the Spirit that's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness? All that other stuff, man, we can teach all that other stuff over there, and they can come out of children's church regurgitating that information and being no more spiritual for it. So Paul says this. Well, I think I went on a rabbit trail there, but I thought I had a story going somewhere. You've seen them, and I've seen them. Bible-believing people say, we just can't get along with those people. And they go right down to another church that has the exact same doctrine. Exact same, I mean, maybe just a little tweak here and a little tweak there. And they think their spirituality is in what they come to understand about the Bible. It's not. Your spirituality is based on, how do you get along with the brethren? How do you come to a church service and put away, or come to a local congregation and put away your agenda and say, I'm here to serve God. I just want to serve God here. I remember there's a fellow that he came into Corpus Church, and his whole reason for showing up was he could run a children's ministry. And essentially, if he can't run the children's ministry, then he doesn't want to be a part of the congregation. Okay, bye. who cares? The point is, when people show up with their own agendas, Paul's saying, look, if you're not building on Jesus Christ, whatever you're building, whatever little kingdom you have, burnt up. It ain't going to last. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's the definition of carnal. The definition of milk and the definition of meat in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6. Milk is all the doctrines of the baptisms and the resurrections and the doctrines of Christ and repentance and all that stuff. You can get that information. But he says, strong meat belongeth to him that is exercised thereby. What that means, they put it to practice. Not that they go around telling everyone that they can find, you know, Larkin's chart or whatever. If you don't know who that is, don't worry about it. Not that they can regurgitate all of this doctrinal information, which is another thing that I have trouble with people when we think doctrine is only information. Doctrine in the Bible always has to do with how someone behaves in their life, every single time. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I'm tempted to just throw names and schools and all that stuff out there, but you get the idea. I'm of this school, I came from this school, or I sat under this preacher, or I like Paul, or I like Apollos. And then watch what Paul says. Verse 5, who then is Paul? let me say this. If the best Christian that ever lived said, who am I? Then whoever you're following ain't nothing. Whatever guy you've got way up here that you say, we train under this man and under this. If Paul says, who is Paul? I guarantee you whoever taught us, including us, are nothing. Who then is Paul? Verse 5. Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave, notice this, as the Lord gave to every man. So this is the Lord's work. Some of you guys that have businesses, you understand this. You don't hire people to do their job. You hire people to do your job. Because if you don't have a job, they don't have a job. You know what the Lord does? He hires people to do His work. He doesn't hire people to do their work. He puts people to work with His job. Like I said, I mean, you guys that have run businesses, I think, very thoroughly understand this. When you start hiring people, you're hiring to do your work. You're not hiring them because they have a degree. You're not hiring them because, although that may help, you're hiring them because you have work to do that you personally can't do. And you need someone to help you with this business. And so you hire people to do your business. You know what the Lord does? He hires people to do His business. He doesn't hire people to show up and have their own little business on the side and come up with their own idea of what is ministry and what is not ministry, and I'm supposed to be doing this and I'm supposed to be doing that. No. It's the Lord's work, and He puts people to work in His ministry. So here's what He says. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. See that? We are just hopefully happy to be used by God. but you and I can come and go, and you know what? God's work still goes on. He doesn't need you, or He doesn't need me, but He allows us to participate in the work. And then He gives rewards according to that. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So if you want to be a part of the work, You want to build on Jesus Christ, God will reward individuals. It's not a group effort, so to speak. It's not we're going to get into groups and do this, although that's a local church and all that stuff. You got to work together. But your reward and your lack of reward is an individual thing. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So this Paul's over and over. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Not me. It's not someone's kingdom. It's not someone shows up and you know they've got their own idea how they ought to work. No. God already has a plan on how it works. He's already got the thing mapped out, and He's looking for people who are willing to participate in the plan. God that giveth, God which is given. He says, according verse 10, it's God's ministry. And notice this, verse 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, all deal with what God gives. The Lord gave in verse 5, God gave the increase, verse 6, God that giveth in verse 7, verse 10, God which is given, grace of God which is given. The point is, it's God's work. It's God's ministry. God gives the jobs. And I think some of you guys like I said, when you have your own businesses, you understand this. You hire people to do your work. Because if you don't have any work, they don't have any jobs. That's the idea. Then he says this, and then he deals with the judgment seat of Christ. Now this is the thing, and I'm trying to get through this faster, but the judgment seat of Christ. Now on the basis of everything he's just said, now he's going to deal with the judgment seat of Christ. And we can go through the judgment seat of Christ. Well, the gold is this and the silver is this and all that and the wood, hay, and stubble is all this. In context, the whole thing is about, can you get along with these other people to build something on Jesus Christ? Can you spend enough time loving one another so that God can use you to build on Jesus Christ? Can you be long-suffering enough with someone else, with other brothers and sisters, so that God can use you to build on Jesus Christ? And then this is what he says. Here's the judgment seat of Christ stuff that we all probably have heard and preached on and heard preached on 100 times. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there's no other agendas in the church. There's no other jobs other than what God gives as jobs. There's no other operations other than what God gives as operations. And anything built outside of Jesus Christ is not of lasting value. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. So did I come here to get something? Did I come here to promote me? Is it my idea? And I use this collectively because how people show up to church. Is this church about me and what they can do for me, or how we can, what's in it for me? And the Lord says, if this isn't about Jesus Christ, whatever your agenda is, it isn't going to last. This is the whole point. This is the whole problem with the Corinthians. You keep fighting because all of you have agendas and nobody will submit to what God's agenda is. Everybody's got their own ideas. So he says, every man's work, verse 13, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So he's talking about saved people. And then just everything they did was for them or for, you know, whatever their particular fashion of the day was. They got into that and lost sight of Jesus Christ. Then he says this, and this is, I never put these things together like this. Verse 16, now he's going to deal with the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So here's the thought. Here's the thought. If you want to drive home division in a church, if you want to do something outside of what God's work is, the question you better ask yourself is this the hill I'm ready to die on? Is this where I'm ready to die? Because that's what the Lord said. If I'm trying to build this temple with these bricks and these people are bricks and I'm trying to build this temple and I'm trying to build a red wall here and this brick is just dead set to be blue, I'm not going to use the brick. It's going out. It's not useful to the building. It doesn't comply with the work I'm doing. It doesn't comply with the ministry I have. And so if you're just dead set on doing what you're going to do, just be ready to die on that hill. That's where your family will go. That's where you'll go. That's what will happen. And you'll be out of the ministry, out of whatever, because God can't use you in that way. He has work that needs to be done. You can be a part of that work, or you can not be a part of that work. But if you're not going to be a part of that work, by definition, you're not going to be a part of that work. You understand? I mean, it's like Yogi Berra philosophy. If you're not going to fit into it, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. I remember, so this is recent. Another church. Have a family that been in church for years. Years and years. Been in church. Believes all the fundamentals of the faith. Got all their doctrine right. Got the King James Bible. All that stuff. And not that that's bad. It's just like, look, if you're going to be that way and you're going to be a jerk, nobody cares that you believe the King James Bible. I mean, it just, you get the idea. So they've been in church for years and years. Well, now children become teenagers. Some of you are about to deal with that. Some of you are dealing with it. Some of you have dealt with it. Children become teenagers. And then they start to have desires and things that aren't godly. And then, unfortunately, pressing on, the people are, this child will not line up with what God's doing in the church. And unfortunately, steps have to be taken to deal with it. And a family that believes all the fundamentals of the faith, has the right King James Bible, will follow their child's lust right out the door. And I say that as kind of a warning here, because we got some kids that are going to grow up one day. They're going to be teenagers. And they're going to have desires that aren't godly. Because you had desires that weren't godly, and you understand being a teenager. And unfortunately, the congregation can't follow the lusts of your children. This church is a ministry of God. And it's God's ministry. And if it's not God's ministry, it's nothing. That's what you just read. It has no foundation. And so it's what Paul just said. If any man defile the temple, I'm trying to bring something in that doesn't, it's not a part of what we're doing. Teenagers, young adults, college kids that get, you know, those feelings and those things start getting stirred up. And you find out real quick, if you're trying to live a godly life, how conflicting what God said is with your flesh. But you better hope to God that you have parents that will stand their ground on what God's doing. Otherwise, mom and dad are going to follow your lust right out the door. That's people who believe the right way, have all the right check marks checked, fundamental, independent Baptist, all that stuff. And I don't want to belittle that, but I do want to belittle that if you're not going to put it to practice. It doesn't mean anything. That's what Paul says. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man, here's verse 18, let no man deceive himself. Because that's what happens when people show up with divisions and envy and strife. It's because they think they're better than everyone else. Literally believe I am better than the people around me. That's why I can't love the people around me. Because I am better than the people around me. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, got a good business? Okay. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know what that is? That's humble yourself, yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Your bank account, your associations, your checking off all the right beliefs doesn't make you any more spiritual or any better than anybody else. Paul just said a few verses later or earlier, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? So whatever person shows up with some, whatever the division is you want to create, whatever envy you have because you feel like you're better, just remember what Paul said. He said, who's Paul? So you ought to say, who am I? Who am I? Verse 20, again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. Now verse 21, here's the deal here. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men. Quit deceiving yourselves. Quit arguing. Quit envying. Quit causing strife. Quit causing divisions. Because all that stuff is carnal. Just carnality. And then Paul says this, verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos. Hey, if you learn some things from Paul, good. If you learn some things from Apollos, good. Put them to use. Build on Jesus Christ with them. If Paul said some things that don't really jive with you, okay, fine. But if he said some things that were good, put them to use. If Apollos helped you out some, put it to use. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Look at this opportunity. If you want to serve God, here's the opportunity. It's all yours. You ask the Creator to intervene. We pray for wisdom with doctors, with health things, and pray for rain, pray for, you know what Paul said? He said, look, if you want to serve God, your opportunities are endless if you want to serve God. You have all of this stuff. If Paul helped you, good. If Apollos helped you, good. Take it, take what you can get and, you know, spit out the rest, whatever. The point is, Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the rock. And if you want to build something outside of that, you can build it. Just understand, it isn't going to last. And whatever you're trying to build within the body of Christ, eventually God will cut that thing out. He isn't going to have it because it's not part of His work. You know, you guys that have owned businesses and you hire people, and the people show up and they have their own agenda about how they're going to do work. Now let me, and you understand the question, you understand the answer to this. If someone shows up to your job, has been hired by you to do your work, but they don't want to do your work, how long are they going to be on the payroll? You know, I know the government makes it hard to hire and fire and all that kind of stuff, but in a simple scenario, if you've come to the job and you're not going to do the job, I don't need you around. You know what the Lord said? If you've come to the job and you're not going to do the job, I don't need you. I'm willing to give you work if you want to do work. But if you show up and all you want to do is your interpretation of work, or you want to build your little kingdom here, or you want to do this little thing here, I don't need you on the payroll. I mean, I know that's a real basic, simple illustration. That's the point, though. On the other hand, if you do want to do the work, the opportunities are endless. There's open opportunity everywhere if you want to do the work. If you want to be involved in building on Jesus Christ, there is so much to do. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send laborers." There's just too much work to do. It's all yours. It's all available. They'll all be resources for the work of God if you'll do the work of God. So verse 22, he says, "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." So on the one hand, you want to serve God, you want to build on Jesus Christ, the resources are endless. On the other hand, you want to serve yourself, you want to fight about and argue about what they do and what they don't do, your world is going to close in pretty quick. And you're not going to have any fruit of the Spirit because you don't have any long-suffering with people, you're not kind to people. You don't care for folks. You're not gentle with people. All of those things, that's how the Lord works in this. I mean, that's the fruit of the Spirit is how all of these things get done. Somebody willing to apply themselves and yield themselves to God, God's ministry in Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and humble themselves and yield themselves to what God's doing, not what I'm doing. And that's what Paul's dealing with. And the very first thing Paul said is, "Look, I would want to talk to you about spiritual things, but we can't even speak on that level. You got all the check marks marked, fundamental, pre-trib, whatever, but you can't even get along with people. You think you're better than everyone, you're envying other people, you're causing divisions. You pick up from one church who believes the same thing, go down to the other church that believes exactly the same thing because we can't get along. Just carnal, just children, just babies. You got the milk, but I can't deal with you. We can't have steaks together because you're not serving God together. You don't know how to do that yet. We can't feast on what God's meals really are because you just fight and argue." And on the other hand, if you want to serve God, the point is opportunities are endless. Paul said, whatever you build on Jesus Christ, whatever it is, that lasts. And you have opportunity to build whatever you want to build on Jesus Christ. I mean, you can apply yourself however much or however little you want to God's work. And however much you apply yourself to it, that stuff will last. And however much you don't apply yourself to it, whatever else you apply yourself to, it just won't last.